Welcome to another message from Columbus First Assembly. Thanks for listening as we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God. Our hope is that you're encouraged by today's message.
I believe I was a freshman in high school when this started. I discovered pinball. And years after I discovered it, I had the high score on a pinball machine in an arcade that I played at very regularly. My three initials, RJG, were up there with my score of how many million I had made. And if I would walk into the arcade on another day and see the pinball machine and there would be three other initials there, oh, you've thrown it down. I'm honest. I'd take the dollar bills or the $5 bills, and I would go up to the cashier, and I'd get my quarters. And I would start putting the quarters in the machine. And I would play pinball because somebody had knocked my high score off. And I would work and work and work. In fact, I even put a reprimand, possibly my job, on the line, because if I was having a good game over my lunch hour, and my lunch hour was over, do you think godly person that I was stepped away and had someone else finish the game for me so that I could get back to that which supplied my income? Oh, no, 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 no. I mean, if I was down to the last ball and I only had $150,000 and the score needed to be $2 million, I could turn that one over to someone else, but I would not give up. What did it cost me personally to finally get that high score and then to maintain that high score on the pinball machine? I will tell you, it cost me a lot. I sacrificed money. I sacrificed time. Sometimes my wrists would be very sore. It takes skill to play good pinball. But as I've been preparing this part of this message, this is actually part two of the message that the title was coming up on the screen, A Premium Price, Am I Willing to Pay It? As I've been preparing this, I've had to ask myself, if I was willing to do that for a high score, what am I willing to do for the kingdom of God? If I would put my job, or at least a reprimand, in jeopardy to beat whoever beat me, if I would continue to feed quarters into a machine, what am I doing to reach the kingdom? What am I doing to share the gospel? What am I doing to touch this community? These are the kind of thoughts the Holy Spirit has been putting into my heart, into my mind. And I have been praying that God would begin to speak to everybody here about these type of things, because touching our community, sharing the gospel with those around us, growing in our personal faith, helping the church spread the gospel locally and then around the world through missionaries, requires paying a premium price. It requires paying a premium price. Here is our theme verse, or here's our key thought, and I'm going to jump to the key thought, if you would, up there, guys. The key thought is, serving others in the manner Jesus teaches requires more than pocket change or spare time. It requires sacrifice. Serving others in the manner Jesus teaches requires more than pocket change or spare time. It requires sacrifice. JAS on that video machine over there has 8 high scores. Probably he has others. I wonder what it costs JAS to get all of those scores. It costs more than pocket change and spare time. What about for us in the kingdom? C.T. Studd said this. This is in your bulletin if you have a bulletin. If not, it's appearing on the screen. Take a picture of it. Think about it. If Jesus Christ died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. If Jesus Christ died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. Did Jesus Christ die for you? He died for me. That's a challenging verse. Our text this morning, same as it was 2 weeks ago when I did the first part of this, is Matthew chapter 10, two verses. If you could turn there in your Bible, if you don't have time, it's coming up on the screen. I encourage you to read Matthew chapter 10. I want to encourage you to read Matthew chapter 10. These are some of the strongest words that Jesus has as to what it's going to cost us to follow him. And maybe I should preach these more often. Maybe others should preach these more often. The cost of following Jesus is high. You don't follow Jesus on spare time and pocket change. But verses 38 and 39 say this from the New Living. If you refuse to take up your cross, and I highlighted those words, if you refuse, you have a choice in how you will follow Jesus. You have a choice as to how serious you're going to be about it. If you don't make that choice willingly, basically the New Testament is teaching us, then you have refused. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. That key thought again is this. Serving others in the manner that Jesus teaches requires more than pocket change and spare time. It requires sacrifice. And I'm going to broaden it. The kingdom of God never advances on pocket change and spare time. And I use the term pocket change because I can recall many, many years ago at offering time when I was a boy growing up, and my daddy would reach into his pocket because he wanted us to participate in the offering, and he would grab the pocket change that he had and give it to us. And it was a way of training. The unfortunate thing is, and there goes some pocket change, it's not worth much, don't bother getting it. It's a penny. It used to buy stuff. As I got older, in our church, they would let the teenagers sometimes be the ones to pass the offering plates. And we had the type of offering plate that was kind of metallic. And you could hear the pocket change going. And there might have been a few people that was really a sacrifice. Jesus talked about a widow who gave two small copper coins. I've got one on the floor. Now we've got two. Now there's two small copper coins on the floor. That's all she had to live on. That was a sacrifice. I can guarantee you, because I went out to the parking lot and saw the cars that those individuals who threw their pocket change in the offering drove away in. The kingdom of God does not advance on pocket change or your spare time. Well, if I get around to it. Serving others in the manner that Jesus has called requires more than pocket change and spare time. It requires sacrifice. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says this, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters," and I don't have time to get into the full of this verse, maybe later on down the road I will. "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, always give yourself fully." It's not always give yourself when you feel like it. It's not always give yourself when you have time. It's always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. We would say hook, line, and sinker. Jeff, you know what a hook, line, and sinker is, right? And when the fish pulls the rod out of your hand, you've given up hook, line, and sinker plus rod into the lake or into the river. That's a sacrifice for a good fisherman. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Donna, you're heading back to Africa, and you and David are, you got some desires and plans. When you get there, who knows what you're going to face? But you've given yourself fully to the Lord. Whatever you're doing is not going to be in vain. It will not be in vain. The work you're doing right now, getting yourself to the field, is not in vain. Because when you have given yourself fully to the Lord, you know that your work is not in vain. Have you given yourself fully to the Lord? So before we get into the new material today as to what sacrifice is, let me just briefly tell you what sacrifice is not. Biblically, sacrifice is not just giving everything away. Sacrifice doesn't mean you're going to not have a social life, or that you have to make every conversation about Jesus or God, or that you won't be able to watch media or play video games or have a hobby or a sports. And it certainly doesn't mean moving into a monastery. Now, sometimes God does call some people to higher levels of sacrifice than others. He calls individuals to the mission field. But for the most part, he's not calling us to that extreme level of sacrifice. But he does call everybody to some level of sacrifice. So I have four ways in which we can evaluate what we're doing to see if we are sacrificing. And the first two are review. We're going to go through these quickly, and then we'll do the next two. The first two are this. Number one, ways to evaluate if you are sacrificial in how you serve. You serve outside of your comfort zone. You serve outside of your comfort zone. And I had you ask this question. What am I doing to serve that puts me outside of my comfort zone? That would be people I don't normally hang with, more time than I want to give, doing a task I don't care to do, spending or giving more money than I would prefer to spend or give on a ministry or on some people. That's sacrifice. That's sacrifice. Sacrifice is, first of all, going outside of your comfort zone. And secondly, sacrifice is serving someone who can't reciprocate. Someone who can't reciprocate. Who am I serving? Who are you serving? And I put it in the first person because I want you to ask this question. Who am I serving that cannot reciprocate? Maybe you go into a school and help with reading or math for second graders or third graders or junior high or high schoolers. Those kids are probably not going to reciprocate. Maybe you sign up on the list back there to serve a meal at a church to some underprivileged individuals in our community who maybe need a really good hot meal. And so you serve and you plan the meal and you cook it and you serve it and you clean up afterwards. They're not going to reciprocate. That's sacrifice. I'll give you a little bit of background here. This church was founded by people willing to go outside of their comfort zones. People willing to sacrifice. This church, Columbus First Assembly, has been sustained by people willing to go outside of their comfort zones and people willing to sacrifice. Don Wampler has some history of the church. Don, make your way this direction, please. Don? And I have asked Don to give us a little bit of background of the church. So I'm going to have a little bit of an interview with Don so that he can tell us a little bit about the history of this church, because you're sitting in seats because someone sacrificed. You are in a building because someone sacrificed. Don, I thought I would put us both on stools. That's yours. Have a seat. Don told me this story that he's going to share with you. You're set to go. You can say checking if you want. Make sure it works.
Checking?
It works. All right. Don told me this story as well as many others. But this particular story that he's going to share, he told me shortly after I arrived here 8 years ago because he wanted to give me a sense of what took place. Don, when he was, you had to have been a teenager, Don, because you said it was a youth group, right?
I was actually in my third year of Bible college. I had finished my third year in Bible college.
Okay, so gosh, that would make you really old.
About 20 or 21 years old.
21 years old. He was old. He was like a Pastor Evan age, right? Okay, so real close. And you were in Bloomington, right?
Right.
And what took place? Tell us about how you had a part of the early days of the church.
My pastor, Roscoe Russell, found out that a young couple just out of Bible college had decided they were going, after a lot of research and prayer, by the way, they decided they were going to come to Indiana and start a church. It was a matter of where. And I really can't tell you, like they could if they were here, how they focused on Columbus. But they arrived here in April of 1952. And my pastor was aware that they were here and what they were going to do. And the youth group I was a part of, very active youth group, we were excited to come over and be a part of this young man and his wife doing God's work, following God's will for their lives. We came over and held street services on the north side of the courthouse square, downtown Columbus here. And we did that during the summer of 52. We enjoyed that. We really, the youth group I was a part of at the Southside Assembly of God Church in Bloomington was very active, and actually the group that I was a part of, there were about five or six of the young men that went into the ministry, and there were three or four of the young ladies that became pastors' wives, and so very active group and very committed to the Lord. So and we were excited to be able to come over here and do something like getting a new church started.
So what you're telling me is that you guys got into cars or a bus or something there in Bloomington, probably on a Friday night, Saturday night?
Friday night.
Wait a minute. Most young college students usually do other things on Friday night, right?
I suppose they do.
So a number of young people drove from Bloomington in 1952. Some of you weren't alive in 1952. I wasn't alive in 1952.
67 years ago.
67 years ago, Don Wampler and another group of other people moved out of their comfort zone, got into cars and buses, spent some money, spent some time. Now, you said you enjoyed yourself. I don't know that everybody did. Doing a street service is probably not, in my mind, the most enjoyable thing. It would be outside of my comfort zone, trying to gather people. But you did this for an entire summer. That young couple then began to actually start a church, right?
After the street service, the young man and his wife would invite people that had come and stood and listened to the singing and the testimonies and the scripture that the pastor-to-be of the church would read and share. They came to a house on Jackson Street back behind the Coca-Cola plant. If you were there on Washington looking at the Coca-Cola plant, on the other side on Jackson Street, there was a house that they had rented. And they invited people there for coffee and donuts and fellowship.
And that's the beginnings of Columbus First Assembly. Now, 9 years later, I think you told me it was 9 years, you got a teaching position at Columbus, what, it was Northside? Is that where you were?
Central Junior High School.
Central Junior High School. You got a teaching position at Central Junior High School 9 years later. Were you married yet? Did Peggy come with
yes.
you? Yeah, all right.
Yes.
So Don and Peggy moved to this community to begin to work and have continued to pour themselves into invest in this congregation. See, someone sacrificed for where we are today. What God has planned for this church next year, in the next decade, or the next century, should Jesus tarry, is going to be built on our sacrifice. We are standing on the shoulders of some other people's sacrifices, including this man when he was a young whippersnapper, just like Evan is. And Don, I thank you for what you have done. You didn't know at that time when you came to that service. He didn't know that he would be sitting in this church later, but he is. And I thank you for that sacrifice and those who came because you gave up Friday nights, you gave up maybe a date, you gave up other things. But we are here because of what you and others have done. So thank you, my friend. Thank you. See, people out, this church was founded by people willing to go outside of their comfort zones, willing to do more. This church has been sustained by people willing to go outside of their comfort zone, willing to sacrifice. And this church will continually impact our community only because we and those who follow us are willing to go outside of our comfort zones and are willing to sacrifice. Will you be one of them? Will I be one of them? That's the question. So we found out two things of what sacrifice is. Here's number three. How do we know if we're sacrificing? Because we're serving because Jesus said so, even if we can't see the impact. There will be a lot of occasions when we serve others where we will never see the impact. One of our missionaries, and this is one of the missionaries we do support, Lisa Russi, shared this story in a recent newsletter. Lisa serves in France, and this is just a month old. She said, on September 5th, after a short break, outreach in Pointiers started again. It seemed like a normal night, so they would do ministry in the evenings. She said, it seemed like a normal night until we noticed a sex buyer in his 30s. He was very drunk and seemed to be bothering two of the women that we serve. Now, I want you to imagine this and begin to see some of the points I'm making. Because here's the first area of their sacrifice. They're serving prostitutes late at night in a city in France. Okay, that's probably outside of their comfort zone. To go down to, if they call it this in France, the red light district, to have an opportunity to serve individuals that are making a living with their bodies. And when they get down there, two of the women that they serve were in a conversation or an argument with a very drunken man who was soliciting them for sex. Lisa goes on, she said, we knew the women and wanted to speak with them, so we waited for him to leave. But as the situation seemed to escalate, the pastor's wife decided to intervene and ask the girls if they needed help. Now, in Pointiers, typically, we are 4 volunteers per car. Now, think about that. I want you to think about that. 4 volunteers per car. 4 people outside of the comfort zone, 4 people sacrificing an evening, but they said per car, which means there were probably multiple cars that went down into the city to minister. In Pointiers, typically, we are 4 volunteers per car, and we usually rotate 2 people to watch and pray in the car and 2 people to speak with the ladies. At this moment, I was in the car while our pastor's wife and our missionary associate were speaking with the women. As the man began to scream and interact with our team, I chose to step out of the car and approach our team members in order to hear and discern what was happening. Society is going downhill, and these women are part of the problem, he was yelling into the face of the pastor's wife. I watched as she adjusted her stance and asked him if he thought buying sex on the street was also contributing to the problem. And then she said, what if it was your daughter that was on the street? Now, I had missed the beginning of the conversation. She had started to gently ask him some questions, but now she was challenging him. But I knew it was right. I knew the Holy Spirit was guiding her, so I began to pray. There is no hope for me. I'm an addict of sex. I am sick in my head and disgusting. He then began hitting his own head. And it was clear that he really hated himself. He had already told the volunteers that he was married and had a daughter. He felt guilty and hopelessly stuck in his addiction for sex. And just like that, God created a moment for the gospel message. I moved closer, and my face changed from tough and protective to gentle and concerned. Suddenly, we saw him as exactly as God had, a lost man full of guilt and stuck in his pattern of sin. The pastor's wife began sharing the message of Christ and his love. The buyer truly softened and seemed to sober as he heard about God's love for him. And although he did not make a decision to follow Christ that night, I truly believe that something has changed in his life. We gave him the name of the church and some French Bible verses. He said he would read them and asked us to pray for him. I expected I expect that this was the beginning of his true search for God. And will you pray with me for him and all the men who deal with sex addiction? See, here was a life touched by some people willing to obey Jesus, even if they didn't see any results. Because you go down to minister to those who make a living in the sex trade, and it's very possible that you don't see results or won't see results for a long period of time, but they went down because Jesus said, go. And they felt the Holy Spirit personally speak to them. Jesus tells us all to go. Jesus tells us all to serve, but he will speak individually to us as to where it is for us. To the Delps, it's the continent of Africa. To the disciples, it's been India. To you, it may mean brighter days, homeless shelter, which some of you minister at. It may mean helping at Love Chapel. It may mean going out to help Blue Tassel Farm get a bridge in and clear trees. God calls all of us to sacrifice, maybe differently. But there was a life touched by some people willing to obey Jesus, even if they didn't see the results. It was a life touched by some people willing to go outside of their comfort zone. It was a life touched by some people willing to sacrifice for others who would not and could not reciprocate. That man on the street who was trying to buy sex that night, and those who were in the trade of prostitution are not going to reciprocate, but they need the love of Jesus. And our fourth point this morning is also reflected in Lisa's story, and it's this. Sacrifice is almost always planned. It is rarely spontaneous. Hear this, folks. Some of you are waiting to be moved by the Spirit, and I believe the Spirit moves, but rarely is sacrifice spontaneous. Sacrifice is planned. Those individuals planned to go down to the city to meet up with these women on the streets. They planned to go there. They planned to do it regularly. They weren't in prayer meeting and the Holy Spirit said, go. That happens occasionally, but for most of us, it doesn't happen that way. Now, the Holy Spirit will speak to us, but it still means that we need to plan it out. I want you to ask yourself this question. I ask myself this question as it comes up on the screen. Where in my schedule is sacrifice planned? Where have you planned sacrifice in your schedule? Where is sacrifice planned? Where have you planned to serve others? Where have you planned to give sacrificially? Where have you planned to pray with fasting? That's a sacrifice. You get the picture. Where are you planning on doing these things? If you're waiting for a divine revelation to be hit with a bolt of lightning, more than likely it's not going to happen. It's going to be the still small voice of the Lord. When that group in 1952, during that summer that Don Wampler was a part of, when they came to Columbus, somebody had to plan that. His pastor or the youth pastor planned that, got the kids together, communicated with the pastor that was here, make sure that they were here at the right time. And they came back more than once to help establish a church here. Somebody planned it. Sacrifice is almost always planned. It is rarely spontaneous. So we need to ask ourselves, where in my schedule is sacrifice planned? And I think some of you, if you start looking at your schedules, you're going to find out you have sacrifice planned in there. But others of you are going to go, well, not really any place. Then what would be the Holy Spirit saying to you today? What burden might he want to drop in your heart? What burden has he already dropped in your heart? What is the thing that you see that you're wondering, why is nobody doing something about that? Why is nobody meeting that need? Why is nobody? That could be the Holy Spirit beginning to speak to you. And guess what? You're going to say, well, nobody's doing it. I don't know where. It might be that it's for you to begin to plan how to meet the need. I met a lady several months ago in our community. I don't know her name. I saw her a week ago Thursday at a minister's gathering. She is not a pastor in this community. She got a burden. She got a burden for middle school students in downtown Columbus. She got a burden for middle school students on Friday nights that were walking the streets of downtown Columbus, doing what middle school students do who have no supervision. I can only imagine. And she has now opened or will be opening this month, a gathering place on Friday nights for middle school students. She's been planning it for months. She's been trying to find a place. She found a place. She's trying to find people to help her. She's found people to help her. She's tried to find things for the kids to do, and she's got some financing. But it was planned. Yes, the Holy Spirit put it on her heart, but then she has now been following through because sacrifice is almost always planned. And usually, real sacrifice is not a one-time event. Sure, there is that time where you give a one-time offering sacrificially because the Holy Spirit put it on your heart. But I'll tell you where many people sacrifice. It's on a monthly basis giving to missions. They sacrifice to see that this takes place. They sacrifice to give to that organization. They sacrifice to make sure that the Red Cross or the Veterans Associations are receiving cash and income. We sacrifice when, number one, we serve others outside of our comfort zone. Number two, we are serving someone who can't reciprocate. Number three, we're serving because Jesus said so, even if we can't see the impact. And number four, we are planning our sacrifice, not waiting to be moved spontaneously. I showed this slide last time. I'm going to show it again. It's from Stan Mooneyham in the book Traveling Hopefully. He says this: I will go when, I will give after, I will obey but first. One can always find reasons for delay, and sometimes they may even seem to be valid reasons. This was an impression that I had, possibly from my mind, possibly from the Holy Spirit, as I was yesterday or this morning working on this message, that as I started to talk about sacrifice, as I started talking to be giving more extensively, as I started to talk about doing some things outside of your comfort zone, there were some people here or people listening electronically, but I believe there were some people here that an idea dropped in your mind, an idea dropped in your heart, something that maybe you've thought about before dropped in, and, well, I'll do that when. I'll give, but after. I will obey, but first. Maybe it wasn't said exactly this way, but you thought about that ministry. You thought about a place that you should be involved in. But I'll do that, but first I really need to get my kids grown or out of the house. Or I will give, but I've got to pay this off, or I've got to do this, or I will go, but I got to get some training. I don't know what it is. But I'm wondering if the Holy Spirit is not speaking to you today that, hey, it's time to step away from the excuse. See, I will go when, I will give after, I will obey, but first. One can always find reasons for delay, and sometimes they may even seem to be valid reasons. And that may be what you're thinking. That's a valid reason. I can't do that now. I couldn't do that. I'm too young. I'm too old. I love, Donna, that, and your testimony won't make the audio, so people are going to have to fill in what you said, but I love the fact that, you know, at your stage of life, David, you said, was 59, and you gave your age, but I'm not going to repeat it because you don't repeat a woman's age. But you could say you could have coasted. You could have coasted. You could have coasted till retirement. You could and still been doing things for God and been effective, but the Holy Spirit said something, and you didn't make an excuse. I'll obey, but first let me retire. Or I would go, but if I was younger. I didn't know what you were going to share this morning, but thank you for sharing. Maybe we should put your testimony. It'd be a great part of my message. 1 Corinthians 15:58 again. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Worship team, would you join me on the platform? I want to encourage you to pray again. Words similar to this: Holy Spirit, here I am. I am willing to do whatever you want. I will sacrifice for others. I will sacrifice for you. Show me where you want me to sacrifice. Serving others in the manner Jesus teaches requires more than pocket change or spare time. It requires sacrifice. Book of Galatians, Chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 says this: So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we do not give up. Therefore, wherever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. I'm sure for a teenager back in the 1970s, the hundreds of dollars that I put in the pinball machine to maintain, first of all, to win and then maintain that high score was a sacrifice, but my initials, RJG, on that machine meant something to me. And I'm not criticizing myself. I had a lot of fun doing it. I love pinball. But what is it that we are giving to, investing in? And I'm not criticizing it, except where that sacrifice keeps us from giving to the kingdom, to other people, to sharing our faith. We need to do both. I still play pinball from time to time, but I also give sacrificially to missions. Sherry and I give sacrificially to missions. I drive a nice vehicle, but we also see that other needs are met. We live in a very nice house. I appreciate the fact that God was able to bless us with it. But sometimes I have to wonder if I am sacrificing for the kingdom or am I just giving to the house? But here's the area personally that I am working very hard. I find it easy to give and to sacrifice for you, people of God. To share of my life, to share of my ministry, to teach, to invest, to study, to work on weird illustrations. Hopefully they work. Just me. Until recently, and it's been by choice, I haven't hung out with a non-believer in probably 6 years. I haven't developed a relationship with a non-believer, spending time with the possibility of sharing my faith with them. I haven't sacrificed. Remember I said this church was founded on sacrifice. It was a sacrifice, sure, of people coming from Bloomington, but it was a sacrifice of people willing to open their mouths and share the gospel. It was a willingness amongst people to spend time with unbelievers. Now, as a pastor, I'm not in the workforce. Some of you, you're around unbelievers, but are you sacrificing for them? Are you developing a relationship with the hope of sharing the gospel with them? Are you taking extra time with them, or do you just want to get away from them so that you can get back into your protectedness? And so I knew that I could not stand up here in full integrity and ask you to begin to do some things over the next few months and years, challenge you to do some things with sharing your life, giving of yourself, sharing the gospel, unless I'm doing it first. So I first have started. I'm volunteering in our community. Not at a Christian organization. I'm volunteering through a branch of the United Way. I'm giving of my time regularly serving Columbus. And whether this happens or not is okay. But hopefully at some point, I hope that some of the people that I'm spending some time with, some of the people I'm serving, I'll be able to share about Jesus. I plan on doing more of it. Tom Rainer, who is an author that I read and also I listen to his podcast, he said something recently, and this really challenged me as I was already going through this. He said, for every pastor, he said, I'm going to give you the five-hour challenge. Five-hour challenge. He said, 5 hours. He said, you probably work 50 hours a week. Probably pretty right. He was a pastor for a long time. 50 hours a week. He said, 5 hours. What percentage is 5 hours of 50? What? Tithe. Yeah, 10%. He said, are you in your community 5 hours every week? Not visiting your people from the church. Are you in your community 5 hours a week? as a tithe of your time to reach others for Christ. And when I read that article, it was zilch, minimal. I've increased it now with my volunteering. I'm going to be increasing it more. I've got to set the example. Leaders in this church, are you setting the example? Because if this church is going to reach the community, if this church is going to be everything that Jesus wants it to be, where are we sacrificing for the advancement of the kingdom and the gospel amongst unbelievers? It has to be there. And yes, we need to love and serve one another. That's also important. But we have to have both. So I'm telling you this. So from time to time, if you feel like it, say, hey, Pastor, how's that going? You're still out in the community? Did you ever get to your 5 hours per week? Whenever you go public with something, you're going to have people like Rob. I love Rob. I went public with something before, and I said, hold me accountable. Guess who calls? Or has called? It was Rob. He was holding me accountable on fasting after I preached a message called Why I Don't Fast and Other Uncomfortable Truths. And as you well know, my fasting regime sort of has gone away. But during that time, you held me accountable. You can hold me accountable on this one, too. Possibly repeat in your minds these words. Holy Spirit, what are you desiring to say to me this morning? I will not be concerned with my spouse or my parents or my friends or my coworkers, only what you are saying to me. Holy Spirit, here I am. I am willing to do whatever you want. Show me where you want me to sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus. Father, it is only by your Holy Spirit that these words have and will come alive in our hearts. And I pray over that which I have spoken, that which I have preached. I pray over your word, which you say never comes back to you void when it goes forth from your mouth. Lord, we have read from the scriptures, and I believe I have spoken your word for this church for this day. Lord, may this church ramp up sacrifice. May it ramp up reaching our community. May it ramp up sharing of the gospel. May it ramp up inviting others to church. May it ramp up our ability to minister to those who have needs. Father, I thank you for those, and there are many in this church that are ready, so sacrificial. They're sacrificial with their times. They're sacrificial with their finance. They're sacrificial, Lord God. I thank you for them, for it is people like that have built and sustained this church, and it is people like that that this church will move forward in impact in this community. Lord, for those who have maybe grown a little bit weary of well-doing, or for those who focus more on our own needs or entertainment, I pray that you would help us to look to the greater needs, that we may become men and women, teenagers, even children of sacrifice. May we work heartily unto you. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to a message from Columbus First Assembly. We hope that you've been encouraged in your spiritual journey. If you're not part of a local church and would like to attend one of our regular services, our church is located at the corner of 10th and Iowa Street in Columbus, Indiana. Our Sunday morning worship services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening studies begin at 7 p.m. And while you're online, check out our website at columbusfirstassembly.org for details and information about our church. You will also find other messages and series that you can listen to or download. Thanks for spending some time with us and for taking advantage of this resource from Columbus First Assembly, where we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God.